Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve King and Johnny Putman in for Dave Plyer at WGN Radio. Life is a rock. The radio rolled me. About a month or so ago, you heard Dave Plyer, Bob Surratt, John Landecker, and us talking about a very special weekend that was happening. It was Labor Day weekend, and it was a very special thing that was going on, Rewound Radio. It was celebrating one of the great, if not the greatest, top 40 radio battle in the United States. It was the last great top 40 radio battle between WCFL and WLS. And there was a big weekend where they replayed not just, you know, the music.
Or snippets.
But the actual hour-long John Landecker, an hour-long Bob Surratt.
Clark Weber.
Mm-hmm. And it was a hoot to listen to.
And there you were too a couple of times.
Well, and I hadn't heard.
I know
what the shows that they played of mine since I did them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the guys who was responsible for all of this is Ted Gordon Smucker. Ted, you're a madman.
It's a pleasure to be on the air with you and to talk to you. I've listened to you guys for years, but...
No. You have to say, I grew up listening to you. That's...
Oh, I grew up listening to you. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to say.
Right. Can we take you back? It was a fabulous weekend. And the fun thing is, I connected with a couple of people. For example, Clark Weber's daughter was listening. And she found me on Facebook, and she reached out to me. And, you know, there wouldn't be a Steve and Johnny if there wasn't for a Clark Weber. Because he was instrumental in getting me at WIND down the street, and he and Steve and one thing and another. Anyway, it was really fun to reminisce with her, and she was so moved by hearing her father on the radio again. What gave you the idea of launching that weekend with this retrospective, it was like a time warp for all of us.
It was, and you know, Peggy contacted us too, and she said she was, you know, laughing at times and in tears listening to her dad and all the friends that she had made growing up on the radio. But how did this get started? Well, in all honesty, WABC in New York had done a Rewound on the air, actually on the air for a few years, and then quit doing it, but one of the producers of that, Alan Sniffen, who now runs and operates Rewound Radio, he said, well, I'm going to bring this in-house since WABC is not doing it. And so every Memorial Day weekend for a number of years now, Rewound has run full length air checks at WABC. So I contacted Alan and said, hey, growing up in the Midwest, northern Indiana, listening to Chicago radio all these years, recorded a bunch of stuff myself and had friends that had done the same thing. I said, is it possible to do a WLS and CFL Rewound? And he said, if I had the air checks, I'd do it. Well, that kind of got me into high gear, and I started searching and found through the air check community all kinds of full-length air checks, and in pretty good shape, too.
Yeah, I was impressed with the quality of those air checks. It was as if you were listening.
50 years old.
Yeah,
or older.
Yeah, yeah. Let me stop you though for a moment for people who are not a little jargon alert when we talk about an air check, because we were talking about a full hour of a disc jockey with the music and the whole works, and that might be considered an air check. It was a piece of that broadcast.
And it's kind of hard to come up with, even from people in the business, it's kind of hard to come up with those kind of air checks, because most of us in the business who were in music radio, we would have what they call scoped air checks, meaning the recording would be going on when we would be talking, and you'd hear maybe the beginning of a record, and then it would come back at the end of that record to what we were going to say next. But what you got was complete, unedited hours.
Amazing.
Of air checks, and they were wonderful stuff.
And not only, you know, the music and the DJs, but we heard from news people that, you know, we used to listen to, and some of them alive and some have gone. Mm-hmm. And commercials, you know,
yes,
for cigarettes.
That was a hoot to hear some of those commercials.
You're right. Cigarettes were startling to hear cigarette commercials.
I know.
And beer commercials.
Beer commercials, yeah, too. And yet we grew up listening to them, but now it's like, whoa, you're breaking the rules.
I know. Beer commercials to teenagers, you know.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That.
Well, it was a huge, huge success in our world. I mean, all of our friends were talking about it, and we were texting with people around the country who were transplanted from Chicago. It was a success on your end, too, wasn't it?
You know, it was for a number of reasons, Donnie. One is it's something that I just wanted to do because I had been such a collector over the years and thought it'd be fun to share, you know, what I've gotten and what other people who shared their checks had gotten too. And that was one of the very cool things. But another was hearing from, you know, DJs themselves, like Steve, of course, and Jeff Davis. Fred Winston called me and said, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And Chuck Knapp, he was on the phone with me a number of times over the weekend and more. I mean, there's just, you know, the joy that people were experiencing just listening to these shows again brought me a lot of joy, too.
Oh, I bet.
And then I think the families that had, you know, loved ones that were on the air,
mm-hmm,
that probably touched me the most.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, very emotional in some cases, hearing these folks that they, you know, were part of their family.
And maybe they had never even heard them doing this. This was a part of their life that they were unfamiliar with. And that would be so cool,
you know,
too.
Like Chuck Buell said to me, he said, you know, I want to know when these are on because I want my family to hear these because they didn't hear them, you know, because he was, you know, in his mid-20s at the time. And his kids and grandkids didn't get to hear him on the big Chicago station.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was cool, too.
We are talking with Ted Gordon Smucker, and he is one of the guys behind Rewound Radio. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to say is when Steve was getting involved in the Labor Day weekend program.
When I was recording some of the promos for it, I had to very, very carefully articulate Rewound Radio.
I'm still doing a bad job of it. We're going to come back and talk about Top 40 Radio on Rewound Radio with Ted after this. I could hear you going, Rewound Radio.
I was trying very carefully to articulate. We're talking with Ted Gordon Smucker, who is one of the men behind Rewound Radio. You do know that is...
I've jinxed you now, haven't I? Hey, Ted, when we talk about Top 40 Radio, I think it's safe to say 60s, 70s, that was the heyday for that format of radio, correct?
Yeah, you really, that was the area we focused on primarily.
Mm-hmm.
As you all know, the migration from AM to FM began in the late 70s, and things just really weren't the same after the big powerhouses, you know, started to go away. And I don't mean just in Chicago, but in New York and Los Angeles.
In fact, I will share a little behind-the-scenes story. I remember very, very clearly being at the One Speak 89, and they called a staff meeting in the afternoon, and that was when we found out that WCFL was about to switch formats. On one hand, I mean, you talk about a good news, bad news situation. On one hand, it meant, hey, we won the last major market top 40 AM radio battle in the country. On the other hand, it meant, okay, now it's us against the FM band,
mm-hmm,
which is a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah. Well, here's another observation. Listening to that rundown of jocks from Top 40 Radio, there were no women.
Well, there were a couple of women on the air, but obviously Yvonne Daniels passed away.
Yeah.
And but you're right. It was all, you know, pretty much dominated by men. And there were a couple of news women too, but you know, now you hear plenty of women on the air.
Oh yeah.
And it just wasn't the case back in the late 60s and early 70s.
Well, and segueing just a little bit, but Johnny, you've told me when you first got hired.
Yeah. 45 years ago this month, I was hired at an AM FM radio station, and the general manager said to me, "We need a woman. We've been told we need a woman." I said, "Well, here's my air check." "Nah, that's okay. You can start Thursday." I was like, "What? Yeah, we need a woman." And I actually got in the car and I drove home and I started crying when I got home because I thought, well, I just got two jobs, two radio stations, an AM show and an FM show, which was just amazing. It was unbelievable. And it was at that point my dad took me by the shoulders and shook me. And he says, "Okay, you just show them that they needed a woman." And I said, "Oh, you're right, Dad. I'm going to go in there and show them. That's what they've been missing."
And I'll follow up on something that Johnny mentioned just a little bit earlier, but you may not know the story. When I was working at WIND, Clark Weber was doing the show before mine. I heard Clark talking to Johnny. She had called in ask a guest that Clark had on the air some questions. When I got to the station, because I was living in Bolingbrook at that time, and driving out there, I would hear Johnny doing talk on the AM and music on the FM. And I got in and I said to Clark, I said, "Do you remember that one caller?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I've heard her doing both talk and music, and she's really good. It just happened that at that time, WIND had an opening." Clark and I went into the program director's office, told her about Johnny, and...
And she called me. And again, it was a woman who was the program director. She called me and she said, "Would you like to start this weekend?" And I said, "Well, I need to give them a notice." And Ted, she said, no, don't give them a notice. You need to see if this is a good fit." I said, "Oh, no, I'm giving them a notice. I'm coming to Chicago." And it was just, I can't even believe that was 45 years ago this month.
Ted, I said that this was the last major market AM Top 40 battle. And I think it was probably the best AM Top 40 battle, because there were other markets that had multiple AM Top 40 stations, but boy, the competition between LS and CFL was something special.
It really was, and I, you know, the signal with an 890 clear channel and 1000 AM 1000 was pretty much 50,000 watts at night east, but you know, the daytime pattern went all over. So they were really two big, well-run, great-sounding stations. And I think that probably Chicago was the best-sounding radio market anywhere in America. And really, you guys were heard all over when you were on at night, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you probably got calls from California, as
Puerto
far
Rico.
Away as other countries.
Yeah,
yeah, Puerto Rico would call.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. We were actually walking through a mall in Florida, and Steve said something, and the guy stopped and said, "Excuse me, are you Steve King?" And we both went, "Do we know you?" He said, "I listened to you sitting in my car in Alabama all through my high school years." And we just stood there flabbergasted because, oh my God, you know, Steve's not a loud person, but the guy just happened to walk by, hear the voice, and it's like you could imagine a radio clicked on in his head, and he went, "That's him."
That's really funny.
Yeah.
You know, something else that stood out to me, guys, was, you know, the jingles, because we happen to have a guy who collects for us, Steve Brelsford, and he put these promos together with the DJ's voices. But there are so many jingles from that era.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice thing is you'll hear jingles on WGN radio now that kind of harken back to those early jingles.
Intentionally.
If you grew up listening to Top 40 radio, you go, "Ooh, that sounds familiar too."
By the way, we're running out of time. We've only got about 30 seconds or so. But one of the reasons we wanted to have Ted on was to talk about the fact that this was so successful that apparently you're going to do it again next year.
You know, we are Labor Day weekend in 2023. We're doing our rewound again, We're looking now for as many new, and I say new in quotes, air checks as possible so that we can play different shows, many of the same people, but different shows this coming year.
Well, you know what? If we've got some radio geeks in the audience that used to record on their cassette deck, and they've got some of those cassettes in a shoebox, we'll get them to you because there might be some treasures out there.
Well, and I just happened to think, this is literally a light bulb that just went off in my head right now. I have some reel-to-reels of the Music People interview shows that were done on the Once Big 89.
Yeah.
Now, if you have the ability to transfer them somehow, I'd be happy to contribute them to you.
We do. My friend Bill Shannon can handle all of that stuff. So.
Okay, we'll talk off the air about that.
Well, thank you for doing it. It was wonderful. We were in Florida when we were listening and hearing from friends all over the country. A job well done, Ted. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate your enthusiasm for the project.
Nice talking to you, Ted.